the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
You're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the second bunker on the right, I'm Derek Gilbert.
How many bunkers are there in this town?
Oh, I'm not sure we could tell exactly. Not from the outside.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our humble bunker, and we're so glad you could join us. We want to thank you right at the top of the show for listening, because thanks to you, thanks to many of your downloads, we are consistently, we've been watching it, watching those numbers, mm-hmm. we're consistently in the top 30 blog talk radio shows out of about 37,500.
Yeah, and what's even more, well, actually, this is actually,
it's crazy.
Well, and it's crazy for the people who know us, but we're consistently number one or number two in the paranormal category.
Well, we've known that for years, as have our family and all
well,
of our friends.
But we're just a paranormal folk, that's
I know.
All. There's nothing weird about us at all.
Mr. and Mrs. Normal, we're a paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, today is October 21st, 2010. Welcome, and thank you for inviting us inside.
Only
your
one week out from my birthday.
Yes.
Krispy Kreme alert.
Yeah. And you know,
every year Derek buys me a box of Krispy Kremes. So
I think Shelbyville, they have to bust them in because we don't have
do.
A Krispy Kreme
they,
anywhere
they
near us.
They sell them at the Walmart and they sell them at Kroger's, and that's about it. And they are not fresh Krispy Kremes.
No.
Those of you who live in towns with a store where you can buy lovely, fresh, delicious Krispy Kremes, consider yourself blessed.
Yeah. However, we do have Linny's Bakery here.
We do. And actually,
which has been
they're
around,
really good.
Yeah, I'm told, has been around for over 100 years and is still locally owned. And in fact, I would be happy
to have a box of Linny's donuts.
I could take a walnut and throw it from our backyard.
No, the squirrels would get after you if you came in and got their walnuts.
That's
You'd be
true.
Going.
We could take, yeah, actually, we could throw lots and lots of walnuts from our backyard. But the family that owns
you could hit a walnut from
the
here.
The
You're
bakery,
right.
The bakery is just behind us and over a couple houses. So
I know.
One
so
of the
why
cool
don't
things
they stop
about
off and give us some donuts.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, we just haven't asked, I suppose. Well,
I'm
anyway,
going to put out the need hot donuts sign.
Instead of hot donuts baking, need
yes.
hot donuts.
Hey, speaking of things that are outside your house, I got to take it. This is a total left turn.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with donuts, but it does have to do with symbolism and what is and isn't constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
There is a story over in, got to pull this up, it's an NPR story, about a vet who is standing guard, he's standing vigil, over a flag that is at the entrance to a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over this flap that a vet's grave is now not allowed to have a Christian flag.
Hmm. Okay.
Not a U.S. flag. We're talking about a Christian flag. I think this is the craziest thing I've read in a long, long, long time. Grave markers have traditionally been very personal.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So why is it they are suddenly saying you can't have a Christian flag?
No. Are they saying that the family of the veteran, the deceased veteran, can no longer place any kind of Christian flag on his...
The Christian flag is everywhere. The relatively obscure emblem,
yeah.
not in Protestant churches, has become omnipresent in this small town because of one place it cannot appear, and that's flying above a war memorial in a public park.
Okay, now is it a government-funded war memorial?
Well, probably, but I guess my point is... Why is this? I guess it's been there for a long time. The city council decided last month to remove the flag from above the monument in the Central Park after a resident complained and after city leaders got letters from the ACLU
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State urging them to remove it. Well, this town got all up in arms about it and decided that the Veterans Memorial should be allowed to have a Christian flag mm-hmm. if that's what the local veterans want.
Sure.
So people in the town are all buying Christian flags, and everybody's flying them.
What town is this?
This is the story's coming out of King, North Carolina.
That's pretty conservative. Yeah,
it's
you do a Google search and it comes up pretty quickly there. King, North Carolina, Christian flag, and you find a bunch of hits.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, why?
Well, here's director Katie Parker had to say. We were concerned when the city was sponsoring the Christian flag, but we don't have any concern when veterans groups displaying the flag. She says, huh, yeah, well, so why'd you take it down? We think it's great that the city's offering citizens a chance to express their opinions. Again, why'd you take it down? So there's going to be a big rally in King, North Carolina. If you live anywhere close to King,
mm-hmm.
you might want to pay him a visit sometime around that about that 23rd date.
Yeah, apparently this has been going on for a while. Somehow this kind of flew under my radar. But when you run a search on Google News for stories about this, it goes back a couple of weeks.
It does, and I want to thank Kelly who sent it to me in my my email.
This has been going on for over a month. Well, you know, this is so ridiculous because the Constitution doesn't say anything at all about a city government or a state, frankly, even a state government. It says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. How does a city government flying a flag
I know, for a veterans memorial.
That is so.
Especially when the locals really want it. Here's the other thing. If you've ever been to Arlington Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
you know that those headstones are allowed to have symbols of whatever the person who was buried feels comfortable. The family.
Sure.
You can have a cross.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a Star of David.
Mm-hmm.
So if the crosses are allowed on the headstones in Arlington Cemetery.
For now.
Yeah. And think of all those crosses that are in Flanders Field.
Sure, sure.
So what are they going to replace those with something else? Star and Crescent?
Yeah. I don't know. And if you're going to object to that, then why not object to the obelisks? I mean, the city cemetery here in Shelbyville, there are obelisks all over
everywhere.
The place.
Oh, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. So symbolism, what does it mean to you? If you want to send us a note, you sure can. I'm on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Derek's on Facebook. And, of course, we have gilberthouse.org where we have our forum, and we really would love it if you could join us there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody join up because there's a good conversation going over there every day.
Yeah, and hot virtual donuts. So,
I wish.
Well, speaking of symbolism and what things mean, there was a. You pointed me to a rather disturbing photo.
I know. I had you look at this before the show started.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I said, I want you to look at this. And you said, okay, well, the show's going to start. I said, no, look
at this
now.
Before you hit the record button. And
yes.
That's the – is this the current cover from Rolling Stone?
Is there a date on it?
Latest issue. It's the – the cast of the HBO series True Blood, which we've talked about before, which is like Twilight for grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Twilight with boobs, okay? Basically is what it comes down to.
Yes.
And it is not appropriate viewing.
No, it is not.
In a number of levels. I mean, not just because there was a strong sexual content, but because it's glamorizing and glorifying the consumption of blood, just like the Twilight series
mm-hmm.
does.
Well, this is Twilight on steroids.
Yeah. The photo of the three main characters from the film, the actors, basically, they're standing there in the nude and bespattered with a substance that is supposed to represent blood.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's bordering on pornographic. In fact, I think it is pornographic
mm-hmm.
because of the occult symbolism there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go there and tell us what you think.
Well,
warning, don't let your kids see this.
No, it's and frankly, it's not safe for work either.
No.
You don't want this on the monitor if the boss comes around and looks over your shoulder.
You don't want Christian flags on your monitor.
Frankly,
it's coming to that.
This is the kind of thing that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not hijack, but ambushes you when you're walking through the grocery store.
It's
if you happen to see the copy of this cover sitting, staring out at you from behind the magazine rack. Obviously, it's provocative, and that's what Rolling Stone magazine wants.
Oh, sure, that's what they're all about.
But the point of the series, though, is that it's making this this undead lifestyle, which has become quite the rage for teens, it now has become sexy, which is what it says on the cover. They're hot.
Oh, yeah.
They're sexy. They're undead. For adults, look, very simply put, the difference between the vampire and the Christian significance of blood is mm-hmm. very, very clear. Christ shed his blood so that his followers would have eternal life. Vampires shed the blood of their followers so that they can have eternal life.
Exactly.
It's 180 degrees diametrically opposed to Christianity.
And that is so typical of occultism.
Yeah.
They turn Christianity on its head.
Yeah.
I mean, they invert everything. It is getting to the point where, look, praise God, at this point, you and I have the freedom to say these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I got to tell you that the day is coming. We are getting so close to Sodom and Gomorrah. We are in Sodom and Gomorrah. We have not yet gotten to that point where
right.
we are told we can't say that. But that day's coming.
Yeah. And interestingly, just a side note, the novel that I'm reading by the authors that I'll interview on View from the Bunker this Friday night, Michael Lynch and Brandon Barr, the novel called American Midnight, is developing exactly along those lines, where a new political party comes along promising to unify the country and bring things together. But of course, to unify the country, you have to eliminate conflict.
Mm.
Yes. So that is exactly where this plot appears to be leading. So
you have to lead toward a singularity.
Yes, of mind and belief, not just, not just...
Well,
consciousness.
This world of being told what you can and cannot say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Juan Williams has just found out what he can't say.
Yeah. He's a regular contributor to Fox News, if you watch Fox News, but he's also been the chief political analyst for National Public Radio for years.
Oh, yes.
He used to host Talk of the Nation, which is their afternoon mm-hmm. political talk show. And he was very good at that. He preceded Ray Sanchez, who I believe is the current host. And I haven't mm-hmm. listened to NPR in a long, long time.
And I have to say that I have respected Juan Williams for years because
yeah.
he really does try to be, to take a look at the issues. He,
mm-hmm.
he's not someone who generally uses talking points. I think for the most part, he speaks
right.
his mind. And at this point, we see he really does.
And you see what happens to people who actually speak their mind and try to look at situations on their own merits mm-hmm. instead of how it benefits the political party who's paying me at the moment. He made some comments about on the O'Reilly Factor the other night about mm-hmm. flying. And so, he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, that if he gets on a plane and he sees people in traditional Arabic dress, Muslim dress, he's nervous.
Yes.
Now, he didn't say, I get off the plane and notify the transportation safety, authority. He just says, it makes me nervous.
He was honest. And honestly, I get nervous if I, you and I don't even fly anymore.
Not unless we can help it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, my arms get really tired. But if I were to get on a plane today, after everything that's happened and all the wars that we're involved in right now, if I got on a plane and saw
sure.
someone, especially someone who looks nervous, is sweating,
mm-hmm.
is sitting there reciting things in
yeah.
Arabic, I think I would
say. Like the whole Shakes on a Plane episode that took place in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Was it last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Understandable.
And it was as if that were a test, and then they got really upset
right,
when they were told
right.
to get off.
When the Transportation Safety Authority and federal officials come out and say, women with padded bras may be subject to additional search because, gel explosives could be concealed in them, you have to admit that there is nothing if a person was determined enough, there was nothing to stop them from getting on the plane and blowing it up.
There was a story that came out this morning or yesterday about an airline pilot who refused to allow that x-ray thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going through it. It doesn't make any difference. You're not going to catch him by doing this.
Right. Yeah. I can't not think, honestly, of anything that has been stopped by the increased surveillance or the episodes, the most famous episodes of terrorists who were foiled over the last 10 years are the ones where passengers on the plane basically had to wrestle a guy into submission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got on the plane. They got on the plane. The passengers had to stop them. You know, so the body scanners, you know, the searches, the, you know, it is not effective. It's just conditioning us to accept more government control
well,
and intrusion
really
into our lives, frankly.
And along the same line, this is not about flying, but this is about, frankly, personal liberties, is a story that has come in. It was at the Daily Mail this morning, and it's about a cafe owner who was told, you have to take out the fan. Now, fans in kitchens are pretty necessary.
Sure, yeah.
You really mm-hmm. need to get those various vapors and gases and, you know, smoke out of your kitchen. They were told to remove the fan because it made the Muslim neighbors feel, quote, physically sick due to the foul odor of bacon frying.
What?
Yes.
What?
I'm sorry. Don't fry that bacon anywhere. Look, people, I understand that they're not supposed to eat pork, but good heavens. Telling other people you can't fry bacon,
you know,
and that's essentially what they're saying. Don't fry that bacon because I have to smell it.
Right, because you know if they take the ventilator fans out of the kitchen, then the health department's going to come in and say you
yes,
need to put those ventilator
will.
Fans
oh,
back
yes,
in.
Yes, they will.
That is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jews have been living in England, and we know this historically for centuries. Why is this just an issue now?
Good question.
Yeah, it's because the Brits. Sadly, the United Kingdom has already, well, the Brits anyway, the English,
mm-hmm.
have already gone and into dimitude. They have become subject to Sharia law without a vote. This is unbelievable. So where is this located? This is Beverly's Snack Shack in the Shaw Heath area of, is that London? Apparently so.
So what's next? They're going to object to Krispy Kreme frying?
You know, the unbelievable thing is that her husband, the woman's husband, who owns the cafe, is in fact a Turkish Muslim. It is crazy.
She's a mother of seven, and she plans to appeal the decision. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what a world. Frankly, I'm stunned. I have no response to that.
I know you
that
are.
It's just
I know
so
you
unbelievable.
Are. Well, in another part of the world, in an entirely different story, in Haiti, there is a disease that has broken out, and it may be cholera. But at this point, the CDC doesn't know what it is.
It may be cholera, but they don't know.
They're not calling it cholera yet. But hundreds of people have gotten ill, and this is an area where, even though, how long has it been since the Haiti quake? Do we have it? I'm looking if, to see if there's a day. Has it been a year yet? No. But it's been, you know, long enough that you would think that most of the people would have some sort of shelter and fresh water.
You would hope anyway. No, the quake took place
January
12th. So not quite a year, 10 months or thereabouts.
Reporters say that 50 people have died from suffering acute fever, vomiting, and diarrhea. Hundreds more have been taken to the hospital. 619 people, in fact, have been ill so far. So, let's pray this is cholera. I mean, that is not a good thing for it to be going around. That is in the water. But
mm-hmm.
And frankly, it can be spread person to person because of the diarrhea. But let's just pray it's not something else that is developed in that atmosphere.
Well, yeah, yeah. Or can you say test?
Well, you know, I hate but that is the reality we're living in.
Yeah, putting on my foil hat here.
It's that time of year where you should have beautiful blue skies and the occasional fluffy white cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Not lots of chemtrails all over the sky. And I'm sick and trying. I'm on my soapbox.
Hmm.
I want my donuts. I want my birthday donuts. That's my little version of.
Oh, what was that from
Creepshow?
Creepshow, yeah.
I want my Father's Day cake.
And a little cultural reference there. We'll have to talk horror films one of these days
should,
between
you know,
now
coming
and
up
now and
yeah,
yeah,
absolutely, we should. Bill Clinton lost the nuclear codes.
That was reported years ago.
Did he lose him again?
Well, no. I hope not. He shouldn't even have access to them now. But that was a report. Who was the FBI? Gary Aldrich, who wrote the book.
That's right.
Unrestricted Access.
Did you interview him?
No, have not. I read the book. That was one of the early books.
Didn't you try to get a hold of him?
I don't think so. I don't think Aldrich was one of the... But he would be an interesting fellow to interview. He was the FBI agent who wrote a book essentially documenting...
That's right. We read that book. I remember
that
now.
Yes, how people in the White House were not vetted properly for security clearance and how there were security procedures that had been in place in the White House for decades had just been sort of dismantled because of a real antagonistic attitude by the Clintons, of the Clintons toward the FBI.
Oh, yeah. Was it Aldrich's book that discussed the opportunity that Bill Clinton had to take out Osama bin Laden?
I don't know.
That he was essentially in the crosshairs and they just needed the presidential okay to pull the trigger.
Oh, but they couldn't get him off the golf course?
Right.
That might have been it. That might have been it.
Yeah.
There was also the very interesting episode of Al Gore almost quitting on the day of the inauguration when he found out that Hillary Clinton had planned to take the office traditionally reserved for the vice president in the White House.
Why was that a surprise to him? Al, yeah. You campaigned with her for, 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And particular episode where Hillary threw a temper tantrum that was so violent the Secret Service actually had to discuss whether they could intervene and restrain or arrest the First Lady because she posed a threat to the President of the United States. I mean, apparently, according to the book, she was just, she was out of control.
She may be our next president.
And she may be
soon,
our next president.
As in 2012.
Well, frankly, she'd be taking a little tougher line toward some of the countries out there that oppose the United States or antagonistic toward us than our current president. But that is not to say that I want Hillary Clinton as the president of the United States.
I prefer her to. I got to tell you, there was a picture at LucyAnn.com yesterday. And my sister Debbie is not one who watches the news very often. She's a nurse. She's a brilliant young woman, but honestly, she just doesn't. She can talk about it.
Sure.
We talk politics
Uh-huh.
all the time, but she doesn't spend every day reading the news. Surprise, surprise. Why on earth do we do it? But anyway, LucyAnn.com is a news portal, and they had a picture there yesterday that was so good. Did you see it?
No. Uh-uh.
I posted it to my Facebook site, and I hope it's still there. I'll have to go in and see if I can find it. But it was President Obama's head with the glasses on Urkel's body. And the balloon, exactly. Yeah. And it was a graph of the economy going straight down.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because that leads to that creates a good segue here to the one story that I'm bringing to the table today, which is courtesy of the excellent economics blog Global Economic Analysis, which is hosted or written by Mike Shedlock, better known as Mish. He's been interviewed a couple of times by Dr. Future. And essentially, it appears as we look at the election just a couple of weeks away now that the Democrats and Obamacare are really looking at a massive, massive bloodletting that because of Obamacare, a number of Democratic congressmen and senators are facing the end of their political careers, or at least this phase of their political careers. For example, Bart Stupak, the head of the leader of the Stupak Five,
mm-hmm.
We're not voting for health care reform because there's no protections for the unborn in the bill. Oh, President mm-hmm. Obama promised he'd take care of it with a executive order, so we'll change our votes. Well, Stupak, of course, is not running for re-election, but the other four who joined him in switching votes, they're all trailing the Republican challengers by significant margins. As of right now, Rasmussen, which is if I think I'm accurate in saying this, has been the most accurate of the polling services in the last few election cycles, is projecting that the House is going to go to the Republican Party in the fall, and that in fact there's a chance now that the the Republicans may wind up with a 50-50 split in the Senate. So
a 50-50 split again?
Yeah.
That wasn't very good either.
Well, you know,
I guess it's better than what we have now.
I think in the current situation that we have, the current political climate that we have in the United States, frankly, because I carry no water for the Republican Party at this point anymore, the best we can hope for is a deadlocked Congress that can't get anything done, because having our federal government do nothing is less damaging to our personal liberties than when one party has control of the White House and both houses of Congress. We saw under President Bush the broadest expansion of federal power and the biggest growth in budget deficits since World War II and the FDR administration. And that has only continued under President Obama and the Democrats' control of Congress. So getting a deadlock in Congress with a Republican-controlled House, a tied Senate, and a Democrat president, we might actually get a couple of years respite where they can't actually do anything anymore. But the key point of this Rasmussen poll is that most of the people who say they oppose the incumbent, the Democratic incumbent, do so because that Democrat voted for Obamacare. So, yep, he did that.
I found the picture, by the way. While I was listening to you, I was finding this picture. If you go to the Insta, if you refresh the Instapaper site that you're looking at, mm-hmm. you'll see it there at the top. Just click on that baby.
Yeah. Oh, did I do? Well, very appropriate, but you know, it wasn't all President Obama. You have to understand that Lucianne.com is very much in the camp of the Republican Party.
The rhino through and through.
And this all began under President Bush. Mm-hmm. So let's not forget that, and let's not place any.
But it's a
hope.
Great picture. I mean, come well, on.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of fun.
We did the nose.
So anyway, coming up tomorrow night, as I mentioned earlier, Brandon Barr and Michael Lynch, co-authors of the new novel American Midnight, which I thought going in, and it seems to be playing out this way, follows a similar pattern as my novel, The God Conspiracy, in which political situation arises that leads to the incarceration of many Christians. So
well, I think you're dead on the money, and that's sadly the word to use, because I think there is going to be a precipitating event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I won't tell any more because I don't want to give too much away, but we'll talk with him live tomorrow night on A View from the Bunker. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern Time at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. Again, another example, as with last week's discussion, Rob Skiba and his TV series Seed, forthcoming TV series, how to use or attempts by Christians to use fiction and to tell a story, to present a message. And then a rather disturbing message on Sunday's podcast of A View from the Bunker, Nick Redfern, the author of the book Final Events, in which he'll disclose or discuss his research into a secretive group inside the American intelligence community that has been researching UFOs and the alien, I'll use that in air quotes, invasion since 1947. They come to some very disturbing conclusions and even more disturbing recommendations on how to respond.
Well, I've read most of the book, and I heard your end of the conversation for the most part, and I got to tell you, you do not want to miss that interview.
Yeah.
And tune in on for the Friday night bunker you were just talking about, because that's the live one. The rest of us, we're not so lively, but we're not undead. Huh?
No, absolutely not. So we'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com.
Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day is coming soon.